You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor, St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. On Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9 o'clock on this windy Monday morning in Chicago. But we had a Hawks win this weekend, a Bulls win this weekend. Another winner, we have Graziano Marcheschi, a winner, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
Is that why you're floating 6 inches off your seat there?
When was the last time in Chicago, the last few days of April, hockey and basketball still going? That's a trivia question. When was this late in April? Okay, have the answer. Thank you for calling.
The end, my engineer,
Brian Hitman Brock, 2001. So he will receive Graz's first Holy Communion picture. That's very good. We have a tremendous program.
Signed.
We have a great program lined up dealing with the gift of priesthood. And we have with us three young men to be ordained to the priesthood for the Archdiocese of Chicago on May 23rd, which would have been held at Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago. But due to the fire at this point, the cathedral is closed, hopefully to about maybe a little later than August of this year. So the ordination will take place on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., May 23rd at St. Rita High School at 79th and Western. So we have with us in studio Andrew Smith, a deacon to be ordained on May 23rd, who will be sent to St. Albie's Parish in Chicago. And with us on phone, we have Augustine Mahonge, who to be ordained with Andrew to be sent to St. Benedict's, newly ordained in Blue Island. We are still waiting in studio for Carl Tabor, and he is on his way somewhere. And we have with us in studio a great friend of mine, Father Lou Camelli.
A great priest of the Archdiocese.
A great priest who taught me Mariology at Mundelein Seminary. Everything I learned about Mary and Mariology, I credit to Father Lou Camelli, who was pastor at Divine Savior in Norwich, and is now the Cardinal's Delegate for Formation and Mission. He'll be working with the different agencies in the Archdiocese. Father Lou, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you, Father Greg.
And Andrew. Thank you. Also, we have with us by phone Father Ed Filikowski, another great priest of the Archdiocese, was ordained a year before me in 1978. I've got to tell you, I played a lot of basketball with and against Father Ed, and football. One of the toughest elbows I ever faced in my life. Father Ed Filikowski, pastor of Our Lady of the Wayside in Arlington Heights. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Remember our basketball days?
Yes, I do.
We could run up and down the court, and now I don't think I could walk it.
He was a year ahead of you, a couple years behind me, and I hope he doesn't remember any of the stories of my days at Niles.
So Cross knows everybody here. So I think we have a tremendous program lined up here, and it's, you know, I know for Father Lou and for Father Ed, we are veteran priests, the Archdiocese, and to have with us three young men to be ordained. Andrew, let me ask you this. You are a little less than a month away from ordination to the priesthood, which is a wonderful gift. First of all, before how you're feeling, I met you in 1985 when I was on the faculty at Niles College Seminary of Loyola University. You were entering your second year in the college seminary. I was new on the faculty. You spent almost 4 years at Niles, graduated, chose not to go on to the Theologate Mundelein Seminary. Instead, you became a police officer in Chicago for about 10 years. What district were you in?
The 7th District, Father.
And then let me ask you this. When did you change your mind to come back to the seminary?
I think the call was always there. And just looking at the various conditions on the street, the poverty, the violence, the just the struggles that I always kind of went back to my formation and teaching it now. That was always on my heart. But I think about maybe 1995 and 96, I started teaching at Holy Trinity High School. I taught freshman religion. And I kind of.
This is while you were a police officer.
I was a police officer, right. So I did that during the day and worked as a police officer during the evenings. But five more years passed.
Did you ever
by.
Pick up any of your students when you were on patrol?
Thank God, no. Right. But the time passed. Time just goes so quickly. And but I think at the 10-year mark, that's when I decided to give it a try again.
And then we have Augustine Mahonge, again, a classmate of Andrew, to be ordained on May 23rd. Augustine, tell our listeners where you were born.
I was born in Tanzania. It's a country in East Africa. In 1975, that was when I was born. Yeah.
And the thing is, you arrived at Mundelein Seminary in what year?
I arrived in Mundelein Seminary in the fall of 2006. Prior to that, I was at St. Joseph College Seminary.
Now, maybe tell us your story that from East Africa there. When did you first consider the priesthood, and how did that happen?
Well, it's I do believe it's from the Catholic background my family had, and the practice that we always did of going to Mass every day. And I kind of admired the priestly vocation when I looked at the priest, and it happened that our family was blessed to have a priest as well, our third born. And I kind of looked at him as an example, and I apart from that, as I studied through going to minor seminary and high, seminary, I came to realize that I fell in love with ministering as a priest.
You know, I'm delighted that we have Father Luke Camelli here in the studio, because I really mean it when I say he's one of the great priests of the Archdiocese. Here are these three young men who are about to be ordained priests, and it's often said that one of the big factors that draws men to the priesthood is other priests. And so a wonderful priest like Father Greg, a wonderful priest like Father Lou are inspirations. But Father Lou, you were recently relieved of your duties as pastor of your parish after a short amount of time because the Cardinal had a new mission for you. Tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing in the Archdiocese right now.
Well, Graz, it's really interesting work. I am responsible for working with different departments and agencies of the Archdiocese. And I'm starting with the Department of Evangelization, Catechesis, and Worship, helping Father Rich Hines, who is the head of that department, to bring the different agencies together to help us to stay focused on the mission and also to connect with each other so that there is a greater impact.
And also, we're going to get more into what you're doing right now, mm-hmm. Lou, because I know you loved being a pastor
at
Divine Savior in Norwich. And Ed, out there, Our Lady of the Wayside, kind of go back in history. You and I were in the seminary together.
Correct.
And what were the thoughts in your mind leading up to Ordination Day back in May of 1978?
That's
beside a long time ago.
Very good question, because it's still very vivid in my mind. I was in the seminary for 12 years, Quigley North, Niles College, and St. Mary Lake Seminary, Mundelein. And so when you're in the seminary, you're always saying, well, I'm preparing for priesthood, but the priesthood's always a goal in front of you. And as you get to be ordained to transitional deacon, and then the third year, that was our situation, you still had a year to minister as an ordained person, but still priesthood was ahead of you. But the last month, you realize, this is it. This is a decision I've been waiting to make, and this is the real thing. I've been praying for, working hard to become a priest, but now it's coming. So there's a lot of fear, anxiety, joy, excitement, hope, and a real energy to minister in the church as a priest. There's a lot of things going on.
You know, I really like the idea you talk about the goal in front of you, and now it's been 31 years, in a sense, behind you, and it's been all a gift. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:09 on this Monday morning, windy in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, with a household filled with people. Wait, phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Questions you may have for the men to be ordained to the priesthood with a couple of veterans we have here in studio. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever, a great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sackowitz. And we're talking today to three young men who are about to be ordained priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and with two senior priests who have been ministering powerfully and effectively within this diocese.
I guess I'm included in that group, Luanetta.
You're not one of the senior priests. You're the anchor.
You know. Right.
I was in the seminary myself, all through Quigley, all through Niles. I eventually decided to leave. Here's the main reason I decided to leave. I talked to a number of priests who I admired, and I said, what's the key to success as a priest? How do you sustain your vocation? And they all talked about a solid prayer life. They said, without a solid prayer life, you can't make it as a priest. And I looked honestly at myself, and at that time I thought, that's not me. I won't be a happy priest. And so I decided to leave. I'd like to ask – now, you're not in the priesthood, but I'd like to ask –
Yes, Ross, ironically, you are a man of deep prayer today. Well, I know that about you.
I figured I made the right decision because my prayer life came to life after I left the seminary.
Okay.
So
interesting.
I thought, okay.
And through the vocation of marriage.
Amen. Yes, it was my wife who really was the key to it. It really was.
Interesting.
But I'd like to ask you, you've all been in seminary for a good number of years. What sustains you as you get close to this date of ordination? What gives you the conviction that you are doing the right thing?
Andrew.
I'm glad you said that, though, Gratz. It's definitely the prayer life. And in the seminary, you have the rhythm. You have that rhythm, that rhythm of prayer. So it's very helpful. And then I look at my classmates and I see how these guys have been, in the formation with me. And you go along and you look at the joys and the struggle. And then you think about the ultimate goal of us all, and that's to shepherd, to be a good shepherd to God's people. And so that's been a sustaining factor for me, you know, just to have that the formation, the friendship, the prayer.
We have joined us in the studio during the break to be ordained Carl Tabor. And Carl's going to be assigned to St. Christina's in Chicago. First of all, Carl, welcome to Catholic Community Faith. I'm sure you got caught up in traffic. And maybe your response to Gratz's question, you know, what is sustaining you? What is bringing you to that moment?
I think what brings me to a closer relationship with God, and also what keeps me in the seminary and now in the parish, is my devotion to Blessed Mary. And I know when I was in the Mundelein Seminary, it is easy to pray because we have this routine. We go to our chapels for morning prayer, evening prayer. So the routine definitely helps us. And now I am at St. Christina Parish. I graduated last year, and I am working there full time. And I noticed that when it comes to Liturgy of the Hours, it's like difficult to keep this routine and to remember about the prayer every hour. But what helps me is the devotion to Mary. The rosary is one of the prayers which I really like. And through it, like every day, I'm able to ask Mary to help me on my path to priesthood.
To give you strength. And Augustine, take a shot at Gratz's great question.
Yeah, I would say really that what anchors me in the vocation to priesthood is, as many have shared, is the life of prayer. I have always found the beauty of praying and contemplating on the Liturgy of the Hours, which has been a discipline already built in the seminary life and formation, but also looking at the priest ahead of me, who I see like exemplary to me, the way they live their priesthood, the way they do their ministry as priests, and certainly that has been very much encouraging and giving me that what I'm doing is something precious and something that I wanted to do in life.
And maybe for our listeners, all three of the young men to be ordained have talked about prayer rooted in the Liturgy of the Hours. Father Luke Camelli, maybe explain for our listeners the Liturgy of the Hours.
The Liturgy of the Hours is really the prayer of the church meant to sanctify the whole day. And it is drawn primarily from the Psalms and other readings of Scripture and from the tradition. And it is a way in which the church, the body of Christ, lifts up prayers of praise and thanksgiving to the Father. It's marked – there are two principal hours, morning prayer and evening prayer. Those are really the hinges. And then another very important part of the Liturgy of the Hours would be the office of readings. And that's really some substantial input from the Scriptures and from the Fathers of the Church each day. And then in addition, there's a midday prayer and night prayer.
I think what
so it's a way of sanctifying the day.
And what's really good about the whole thing, the Liturgy of the Hours, not only for individual prayer, but then it connects us to the church worldwide.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that's so important about the Liturgy of the Hours is and connecting it with priesthood is that people really want us to pray for them. And through the Liturgy of the Hours, what we do is we are intercessors. And we place our people in the mystery of God. And that's just a fantastic thing, that we place our people in the mystery of God. We're praying with them and for them. Some of the Psalms, I don't know, you want me to explain a little bit more?
No, we can do that maybe a little bit later on, because you know, at least it gave us an excellent overview of the Liturgy of the Hours. Father Ed, I'm going to come to you after the break. And the question for Ed and for Lou, the two veteran priests, is what advice would you give to the men to be ordained to the priesthood on May 23rd? So I'll give you a chance to think about it. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Any calls you may have, any questions or comments to the seminarians or about priesthood, here on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, May 30th at St. Anne's in Hazelcrest, 16801 Dixie Highway. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
It's Monday morning in Chicago. The time is 9:22. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and you're listening to Relevant Radio 950 AM. This is the Catholic Community of Faith, co-hosting today with Father Greg Sackowitz, and we are talking to some fine people who are preparing for and have been veterans in priestly ministry within the Archdiocese of Chicago. Yeah, I'd like to ask a question of everyone, Father Ed Fielkowski back on the phone, Father Greg, Father Lou especially. I know as I looked at priesthood back in the day when I was in the seminary, one of the things that helped me make my decision is I couldn't quite figure out what it meant to be a priest back then. Now, I take full responsibility for that, but I couldn't tell the difference between what a priest might do, what lay ministers might do, what a social worker might do. And I think there was a time when the notion of priesthood was more of a social worker than what I would call today a spiritual father. I'd love if the three of you could just talk about your understanding of the identity of a priest. What is the essence of a priest? We know he does a lot of things. Are those what define a priest, the things that he does, or is there something more?
Lou?
Can I start? Yeah. I think it's really important to understand that it is not primarily in what a priest does. That isn't primarily what identifies him, but who he is. He is a sacrament, a sacramental presence of Christ in the church. He acts in the name and person of Jesus Christ, who is head and shepherd of the church. And it's out of that that then the various activities or ministries of teaching and sanctifying and governance of the church emerge. But that's pretty hard for a lot of people to understand because, again, Graz, as you put it, people keep trying to say, well, what does he do? What does he do? Well, there are things that we do. You know, a number of years ago, I had a group people who were trying to understand lay ministry, and what they were doing is going back to their understanding of work. And I said, no, take a look at your family life. In your family, you are certainly doing things for the members of the family, but first and foremost, you're trying to build up the relationships in the family. And so it is with the priest. The priest is standing for and building up relationships among the people, leading them to Christ and standing for Christ in their midst. So it's – there it is. I mean, it's a wonderful, challenging, and unique vocation.
And Father Ed, pastor of Our Lady of the Wayside in Arlington Heights, about what would be your response to Gratz's question?
Well, I think Father Lou said things very, very well. I think the very most important thing is we are a person of prayer, a person of faith, and we lead prayer and we lead the celebration of sacraments so very often. That's very central to our faith and to the faith of our people. The issue of experiencing our Lord Jesus in the sacraments of the church is a large dimension of what we do in our priestly ministry. And what unfortunately happens, a lot of folks just see us, say, on Sunday morning, and they're not aware of the amount of preparation that takes for good liturgy, good presiding, good homiletics, and the prayer and preparation that goes into that. They know it's there when a homily is prepared well and presented and, you know, preached well, for example. They also know it's not there, but there's time and energy spent on that. And so those are some of the things that we do in bringing people closer to our Lord or encountering our Lord in the sacraments of our church.
I think there's a way to respond to that, you know, great responses from Ed and Lou. My own response, Gratz, would be similar. Be we are about, you know, teaching, preaching, and I call a theology a presence. That's somehow being there for your people. Being there for your people, you know, as a pastor, if you're in special ministry, it might be a different ministry within the calling, but just to be there in the good times, the hard times. It's easy to define priesthood with what you do, but that's not it. And the overriding thing on the whole thing is to be a man of prayer. Otherwise, in my own life, it becomes disconnected, things that I'm doing instead of just being rooted in prayer, and it all comes alive. And find ways that, you know, there's a routineness to it, but how do you keep it fresh and alive? But to get back to a question, Ed, that I had asked before the break, and get to it before we get into our next break, is what advice would you give to the three men to be ordained on May 23rd?
Well, they're about to take on a monumental shift in their vocation. The vocation presently right now is to the transitional diaconate, prior to that to seminary training. And their next shift will be to ordain priesthood. And a major shift's going to happen for them. And in that major shift, a lot of their prior reference points really don't stand true anymore. For example, ministry has a lot of demands, and a lot of times ministry comes at very inconvenient times. And the seminary has the luxury, if you will, to know when your classes are, your formation sessions are, to sit down for your liturgy of the hours, for example. All these things are pretty much scheduled. Parish life, there are schedules, but much of it is not scheduled. And things happen sometimes at very inconvenient times. A funeral comes in, you're called to the hospital, nurse home to anoint somebody. Someone calls with a personal problem. Many things can happen that kind of help allow you to or demand you reshuffle your agenda for a given day. Also, that means that you have to find time for the prayer. Find time for proper rest and nourishment. Nourishment means prayer, meals, relationship with your family members and friends. And so it's not as scheduled or as consistent as it had been in seminary training. So it's a major shift that's happening, and that's sometimes guys make it easily, sometimes it's very hard on guys.
That's a great response. Father Lou, your advice to the three young men to be ordained.
One of the great lines from Augustine that has been so important to me is sit amoris. I'm going to quote it in Latin, and I'll translate it. I'm part of the old school.
Right.
Sit amoris officium pascere gregem Christi, which means let it be a work of love to shepherd the flock of Christ. Let it be a work of love. And I think when Augustine said that, he really caught the whole sense of priestly ministry. It starts with love, the love for Jesus, the love for the people. And that's got to be a kind of constant animation. That's supported by prayer. It's supported by being interested in the lives of our people and walking with them. So if there's one thing that I think would be so important for you as you start your priesthood, just to keep going back to that, sit amoris officium pascere gregem Christi. Let it be a work of love to pastor the flock of Christ.
Another great response. I would like to add to the break to – for Augustine and Andrew and Carl is, maybe Ed said earlier, it's a willingness to be inconvenienced. Secondly, priesthood is not about you. It's about serving the people of God. Thirdly, listen to the people. That we don't come with all the answers, but a willingness to learn from the community, because together we're the body of Christ. So on that note, we go to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:30, right on the dot. Phone number 312-255-8408. Jump in the conversation. I'm Father Greg Sack, which is along with co-host Graziano Marcheschi. Stay with us, and again, do not touch that dial.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
You're listening to the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. It's 9:32 a.m. on this Monday morning. We're talking about priesthood. And Pope Benedict the 16th has designated next year as the year of the priest. He always just seems to nail it, you know. The year of St. Paul has been very fruitful and focusing on the contribution that the enormous contribution Paul made to Christianity. And now focusing on priesthood. You know, before the last break, we talked to the priests in the room and on the phone about the advice they would offer to these young men who are about to be ordained. I'd like to turn the tables a little bit and ask the young men who are about to be ordained, what advice would you give to any young man out there who is discerning whether God is in fact calling him to the priesthood?
Carl,
What advice? When I think about this question, is the advice I would give is never stop questioning your vocation. And if you have good experiences in your life of like being a of different priests. And people just look at them and ask if you could see yourself doing what they are doing, and definitely turn to God in your prayers and ask Him if this is what He's calling you to do. And I remember when I was back in Poland, I was in the high school and I was influenced by many priests. And when I was about to graduate from high school, those questions came. I was thinking if this is what God is calling me to do. And I went to a seminary not to be ordained a priest. I went to a seminary to find the answer if this is what God wants me to do with my life.
And Augustine, what advice would you give to a young man?
My advice to them is when you feel the urge to serve, to go to school and study in the seminary, the best thing probably is to look for the people in the priesthood who you feel you can talk to, who you feel you can ask your questions, and, you know, as you discern to get the answers that you feel they will help you. And in that way, you have the clear vision of what you're looking for, plus praying and center your life into discernment based on prayer, yeah.
And now, Andrew, here you were as a young man in the seminary, 4 years at Niles College Seminary, graduate about around 1988, chose to leave the seminary, became a police officer in Chicago for 10 years in the Inglewood area, re-entered the seminary 10 years later. What advice would you have for a young man who'd even be the thing about exploring about priesthood?
Like Carol and Augustine said, you definitely center yourself in prayer. And I would say don't let fear paralyze you. Think about when I went back to the seminary. It was kind of in the height of the sex abuse scandal, which was a sad thing. But that's not the church, not the beauty of the church. So you can't be paralyzed by fear. You got to really search your heart. And one thing about the seminary I learned is that it forms you as a good man. And so you don't have to become a priest, but you can learn so many things. The church is teaching of the dignity of the human person. I think really formed me, and it sticks with you. Like when I went to the college seminary, it's just like every time I think about it, it's like, wow, I learned so much there, and I grew as a human being spiritually, physically. It's just so many things that I can draw back on today. As a 42-year-old man that I learned then, is like, wow, helped me to become the man that I am today. Even if I didn't become a priest, it always sustained me, my teachings there.
Father Lou and the other priests as well, I really appreciate what you said earlier, Lou, about the identity of priest. It seems like you were placing that identity in relationship, even the quote from Augustine, you know, about being the pastor. It seems that a priest is a relation, that his identity lies in the relationship, the unique relationship he has with the community. Because some of the things, I mean, being a man of prayer, well, I try to do that, doing things for people, breaking open the Word of God, I get chances to do that too. But I don't have the relationship with a community that you men have as the priest. Lou, when you began as a pastor a couple years ago after having been a seminary professor for a lot of years, how did you experience that relationship? And what were the most rewarding aspects of being in relationship with a local community?
Oh, Graz, I could go on and on. There were, first of all, let me say that probably the most rewarding and actually awe-inspiring dimension of that experience of being pastor was to wake up and realize that I was the reference point for Jesus Christ in that community. I don't mean that I was the only person who was a disciple of Jesus. There were other people there who were far better disciples than I. But in a public, sacramental way, I was the reference point, the rallying point, if you will. And that's what sacramental presence is about. And that was just very, very powerful. There were a couple of other things, too, that really were very, very significant for me. I continue to learn. I'm going to be ordained 40 years. I can hardly believe that.
Are you kidding?
No, 40 years in December.
And I'll have 30 years in 2 weeks. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You're that old, Lou.
I am that old.
He doesn't look it, ladies and gentlemen.
You look young. Wow. I would have lost that bet.
Yeah. So, but I have one of the great just from a human perspective, fascinating things about priesthood is I keep learning things about the human condition, about the workings of grace, about what God is up to in this world. And, I mean, it just keeps unfolding. It unfolds in the lives of people. And that's just been fascinating and wonderful.
We need to move to a break. I'd like to hear from Father Ed when we come.
Well, we're going to cancel the break? Oh, okay.
We're going to cancel the break.
Good. Brian says good. Good. Prefer to cancel
all right.
the break.
Ed,
tell
Ed,
your response.
About what you find some of the most rewarding aspects of your ministry.
The some of the most rewarding times of the ministry is a very clear reality and awareness that I'm able to do things, say things that I'm really not able to do. the Holy Spirit clearly works through me, so this priesthood I share with Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, for example, you give a homily on a Sunday, and somebody will say to you, boy, you were speaking to my heart today, Father Ed. That's just what I needed to hear. How did I know that?
Yeah.
And how did this person know to come to my Mass that weekend? You go to the hospital to see someone who's very sick, and you find out that maybe you anointed that person, and the person dies shortly afterwards, and the family says, you know, Father, Dad was waiting for you to come and anoint him. And once he was anointed, he was at peace, and he passed away. Amazing stories like this happen to all priests in their ministry. And it's you feel very humbled, you feel awed by the Holy Spirit working through you in your priesthood, and how you are the instrument, that you are Christ's hands and feet, mouth and ears, eyes many times, that really touches people's lives. And that's an amazing privilege that priests have.
And I think along those lines, Graz, maybe give a shot at that question myself, and that is, and I'm sure that Andrew and Carl and Augustine, along with Lou and Ed from our own seminary day, I remember at Mundelein, which was a tremendous experience. I loved my 4 years at Niles College and St. Mary the Lake Mundelein Seminary. But what I do remember was being taught over and over again, it's a life of giving, a life of service, a life of outpouring of oneself to the people, and a life of loving. But ironically, in 30 years of priesthood, I have received more from people in terms of love, sharing their gifts for me and to me than I've ever been able to give in return. So you talk about a life of giving and loving, but I have received more from people. It's actually overwhelming, the goodness of people, to be, because you're always taught in the seminary, it's a life of giving and loving, but I've received more. And Lou and Ed, are you resonating with what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. And in fact, it is very humbling.
You know, one of the things, too, I mean, this is not the most important, but it's fun. It's been fun. Let me just tell you a story. It's a great event. I had a woman in the parish who was 101 years old, and I just love her. And she loved me. You know, it was just great. And as I was leaving once, I said, Irene, please say a prayer for me. She said, oh, Father, I pray for sinners every day. So there is a sense of humor and fun, and it's like a family. And that has been so such a blessing.
The three seminarians, as you're preparing for priesthood, an important part of that preparation was ministry that you did in parish during your diaconal year. Talk a little bit about what you learned about ministry from those experiences.
Augustine, let's begin with you.
Yeah, I have been at St. Benedict, the parish that I'll be in for my diaconal ministry. And I said, actually, what was said here of giving and receiving struck me very well, because that is what I really experienced there. You meet people who are really open to receive you, open to learn from you, and also you are open to learn from them, because they are new faces to you, and at the same time you're going to minister with them. So to say that I have always learned the fact that humility is a value to be able to receive and to be able to give out, especially because when you meet people in this new parish, you don't have full knowledge of the place. But unless you open up to them and listen to them and also be able to share, then you can move forward in a small start of the ministry. I would say another thing is the prayer life of the people, the devotions. It's a Hispanic community largely, and they have devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. They do a lot of other devotions. And being away, I mean, from different culture and language, it was so stunning that I could learn even from these other different background practices of faith, and to me that has been wonderful.
Andrew, thank you, Augustine.
I have to definitely agree with Augustine. It's been a very humbling experience, a very powerful experience in the faith of the people. You found out how much holier they are than I am. It's like, wow. But it's been I have a little anxiety as I look forward to the priesthood, because there's so much work to be done. But I also have a lot of joy being able to break open the scripture and to pray with the people and be with the people in the midst of the suffering and the joy. So I've learned a great deal that the church is needed, and the church is a constant reminder of the love of Jesus Christ.
And Carl, what have you learned from the faith community of St. Christina's?
Well, I have learned many important things. First of all, when I went there, I started working as a deacon. And when I was coming to this parish, I was not sure what I was going to do over there. Because at Mundelein, we were taught what priests do. But now, since I am full-time at St. Christina, I wasn't sure what my ministry will be like. And it's been a great joy, great pleasure to work with people at St. Christina. And I noticed that one of the important things in my life is the prayer and being with the people. St. Christina is a very busy parish. And sometimes just being with people, going to different meetings, having fish fry, praying with them is really a great experience for me. And I'm not learning just from the people, but also from the priests. So whenever I went to do different ministries, different parishes, I learned a great deal from the people, from their prayerfulness, but also from great experiences of working and learning from the priests.
I'd like to ask a question about vocations. It seems there was a time when we had, I don't know if it was a better understanding, but at least a clearer understanding of what we thought vocation was about. Then we saw a lot of people who had a calling to priesthood or religious life leave that life. And so my question is, what does vocation really mean? Does God really call people to do certain things? If God calls someone, is that are they required to answer? Is that an option? Can someone walk away from a vocation, or does that just mean they never had it in the first place? I know there's a lot there, but can you take a stab at that, Lou? Or?
In 15 seconds, Lou.
15 seconds, yeah. Well, first of all, one of the things that St. John of the Cross says is that God wants our freedom. God wants our freedom. When you begin to understand that, I think it opens up a lot. God's not going to be there intrusively oppressing us, pushing us in a direction we don't want to go in, although at times it may feel that way, as it did for the prophet Jeremiah, for example. But ultimately, God wants our free response. But we were talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary before. That's precisely it. God invites her. And she says, let it be done to me according to your word. So that conformity to God's will, availability, that's where it lands.
And on that note, we need to bring this segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way the three men to be ordained to the priesthood on May 23rd at St. Rita High School over on 79th and Western. Andrew Smith to be assigned then to St. Albee's in Chicago. Thank you to Carl Tabor, who will be assigned to St. Christina's as a newly ordained priest. And Augustine Mahongay, who will be serving the people of God at St. Benedict's in Blue Island. And special, special thanks to Father Luke Camelli, who is in a new position. He's a Cardinal's Delegate for Formation and Mission, working with the different agencies in the Archdiocese, one of the outstanding priests in the Archdiocese. And also by phone, Father Ed Filikowski, a great friend and also a tremendous priest of the Archdiocese, pastor of Our Lady of the Wayside in Arlington Heights, and also a member of the Presbyteral Council. To all of you, thank you. God bless you. And our prayers are with you. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m., and do not touch that dial.
You are cordially invited to attend the U.S. charity premiere of Testimony, a feature film on the life and legacy of Pope John Paul II. The film is narrated by internationally acclaimed actor Michael York.
Testimony, the untold story of Pope John Paul II, is a loving tribute to one of the most influential leaders of the 20th century, a man who came from humble beginnings to preach a message of peace, love, faith, and perseverance, and who was an inspiration to countless people around the world.
Michael York will attend the special screening of Testimony. It's scheduled for Friday evening, May 8th, at the Copernicus Community and Civic Center on Chicago's Northwest Side. Proceeds benefit the humanitarian works of the Order of Malta in the Archdiocese of Chicago and in Cuba. For more information and to order tickets, visit www.artschicago.org and click on Testimony.
Have you wondered why Christians, Jews, and Muslims engage in interreligious dialogue? On Tuesday, May 5th at 6 p.m., attend the 3rd Annual Abrahamic Faiths Intersections on Interreligious Dialogue program for the answer to this question. The panel includes Dr. Elizabeth Jeep, Associate Director of the Siena Center of Dominican University, Rabbi Asher Lopatin of Anshe Shalom B'nai Israel Congregation, and Enamel Haq, Adjunct Professor at Catholic Theological Union and Elmhurst College. The date again is Tuesday, May 5th at 6 p.m. at the DePaul University Art Museum, 2350 North Kenmore in Chicago. It is sponsored by three offices of DePaul University and the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs. Please call 312-362-6872 or email diversitymatters@depaul.edu for more information. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, co-hosting with world-famous Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Time is 9:51 on this Monday morning in Chicago, and Brian Brock made a correction. The last time the Bulls and the Blackhawks were in the playoffs together this late in April, 1997. Is that correct, Brian? Good. And I know that Diane Dunnigan affirms that answer. Well, we're going to change gears just a little bit, but of the same theme. We have with us in studio Sister Elise Ramirez, a Dominican sister of Springfield, and Sister Elise is the coordinator of religious vocations ministries here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome, Sister Elise, to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Well, thank you very much.
You have
Father
a beautiful
Greg.
Smile. I wish our listeners could see the beautiful smile on your face there, Sister, and you kind of have a radiance about you. We're going to be talking today about the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. First of all, tell us the history. When did the World Day of Vocations begin here in the Archdiocese, and when is the next one here in Chicago?
Well, the World Day of Prayer started here in the Archdiocese the same time that it started in the world, and that was in April of 1964.
Okay, about 45 years ago.
45 years. Isn't that exciting?
In the middle of the Second Vatican Council.
You weren't even born then.
I wasn't.
You weren't.
I was.
That's right. In the middle of Vatican II.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was Pope Paul VI who launched that day, and he chose the fourth Sunday of Easter as Good Shepherd Sunday, and the idea that the shepherd calls and we respond. Calls us by name. So in a particular way, we are called. And the World Day of Prayer for Vocations is just that, to pray, pray, pray. Mm-hmm. And Pope Benedict, in his letter that he writes, the Pope always writes a letter to introduce the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And in this letter, the Pope starts out by saying, remember that the Lord himself said to us, pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Now, I like here is we have a flyer here, and I've got to read a couple of sentences that I think summarize it so well beside what Sister Lisa said. As we celebrate this feast, we pray for fidelity to our vocation. The Church invites us to honor the vocation of all Christians given at baptism, the vocation of marriage, priesthood, diaconate, consecrated life, and the single life. May we further the reign of God. May those who are discerning their life vocation listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd to guide them. So what's fascinating is I think some people don't understand that marriage can be and is a vocation.
Definitely.
Priesthood is, diaconate is, the single life is. And, you know, and I think the whole sense, gratz, of lay ministry through our vocation, it's living out the call. Right, gratz?
Absolutely.
I consider myself a vocation director as well, because part of my role is to call people to serve in the church as lay ministers. But I'm intrigued by what you said, Sister, about it was a command from the Lord himself that we pray for vocations. I hear a couple of things there. One is that it's a responsibility that's on all of our shoulders. There's work to be done. There's a harvest to be brought in. And if we don't do the work of praying for the workers, the work isn't going to be done. But the other thing I'm hearing there is it's not an easy thing. You know, it's not automatic, that the generosity to respond to that call doesn't come real easily. And therefore, we have to pray for it.
We have to also listen.
Father Lou said earlier that God wants us to be free. But in that freedom, we can say no or we can say yes. And it requires our prayer for people to find the generosity within themselves to say, yeah, I will give my life to serving God's people in this way.
Grazie. Amen. 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 But what you're saying is so true. And that's that generosity. When we say yes in that generosity to whatever that call is, that's when we're free. We're not just free when we have the yes and the no in front of us, but we're free as we walk into that yes. And you're both shaking your heads because, yes, you know that from your own lives.
Yes. Or, Sister Lise, let me ask you this along those lines. A lot of times people say to me, well, I'm only a lay person. They stress, I'm only a lay person. I'm only married. That somehow for many, many people, unfortunately, they see the work of the Lord, well, I have to be a priest. I have to be a sister. I have to be a brother. Otherwise, I'm only a lay person. I'm married, so like I don't count. How do you respond to people like that?
Well, I take them back to what Lumen Gentium says in Vatican Council II. There's a universal call to holiness. And holiness isn't parsed out. My goodness, it's of God. And so holiness, that we're all called into the mission of Jesus. That's where our holiness lies, into the mission of Jesus. Because when we're called into that mission of Jesus, we're called into the heart of Christ. And that's what we bring to the world, is that heart of Christ. That's what animates us.
And maybe to let our people, our listeners know, resources for World Day of Prayer for Vocations are on the website of the Office of for Religious at www.archchicago.org. www.archchicago.org. Resources for World Day of Prayer.
You know, Sister, first of all, it's great to see you so excited about your own vocation and so full of joy, because I think a lot of times that's what's lacking. People aren't attracted to vocations, to priesthood or religious life, because it doesn't look like it's going to be fun, and it ought to be fun. But in addition to that, and I just lost my train of thought, what was I going to say?
Well, I think I'll tell you this, though. A fourth grade teacher once went on a break, and one of her students wrote on the blackboard, "If you feel okay, please notify your face."
Amen.
You know? So which means there wasn't a joy.
Yeah.
Now, we all have bad days. Don't get me wrong.
I remember what I was going to say. In seeing your joy and your enthusiasm when you said that we're all called to holiness, we also know that within that universal call to holiness, there are specific calls to different roles within the church. Father Lou talked about being a sacrament of Christ as a priest. Women religious are, I think, icons of the kingdom in a very special way.
I think, Gross, we've just run out of time, believe it or not. We have to bring this
Lord.
Program to a close. We want to thank,
we're having too much fun.
Yeah,
we
Sister
are.
Elise Ramirez, Coordinator of Religious Vocations Ministries in the Archdiocese of Chicago, talking about the World Day of Prayer for Vocations on May 3rd. Special thanks to co-host Graziano Marcheschi. Great job by our producer, Diane Dunnigan, and great work by our engineer, Brian Hitman Hockey Brock. To all listeners, God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.